You're listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Son of a bitch.
My Here's how the game's played, okay? It is time for Sauce's Secrets Out on the Power Trip Morning Show.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets.
Why I love Chuck is that's exactly how I felt about the show, but I couldn't articulate it the way that he did.
And Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes.
Guy, he's going to get in there and just try to maul you.
They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on 494.
Dave, it is Super Bowl week, and I'm here in Kansas City, and I can tell you that the excitement level is off the charts, as I'm sure it is with gamblers all across this country.
Well, of course. I mean, it's one of the biggest, there's something special about a NFL Sunday slate with all the games going on, the Red Zone channel, but this is the last, this is the fear of missing football now for 6 months. So, this gets broken down into how many prop bets. I mean, I've seen sheets, in between player props and, down to the shirt color of one of the people singing the national anthem. There's probably over 600-700 prop bets. So there's plenty of ways to wager on this year's Super Bowl. That's for sure.
It is absolutely insane, and the more insane it is, the more that we love it, that's for sure. Now, I also hear that it's going to get cold as a witch's teat up there in Minnesota for the Super Bowl, so what's your plan for Super Bowl Sunday? Just get a lot of your favorite foods and stay in and stay warm?
Yeah, well, we took Corey's advice in getting a projector downstairs and setting up kind of a theater. Oh, good for us.
Yeah.
So we're having another couple over and their dog, and we're just going to kind of chill. We're going to grab some Buffalo Wild Wings and maybe pop a Murphy's Pizza. And yeah, we're just going to kind of sit in and chill. What about you, Chuck?
We are doing the Buffalo Wild Wings thing as well. My wife's going to make a couple of her favorite dips and stuff, kind of for appetizers and stuff. You know what, though? I heard from a friend today, and I did not even know this existed. I'm embarrassed to admit I did not know that this existed. But do you remember the burnt ends that we got from Oklahoma Joe's when you guys came down here for the tailgate?
Yeah.
They are doing, for the Super Bowl only, they are doing a special burnt ends pizza.
Talk dirty to me, Chuck.
I mean, seriously.
Oh my god, that sounds so good.
Because those are the best.
No, they're
burnt
not putting
ends.
Like the full like. I'm assuming they're like either chopping or shredding the burnt ends up and putting them on there.
Knowing Oklahoma Joe's, they're not. They're putting them on there straight like we had for our
my
tailgate.
God.
Knowing that,
that sounds so good.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I can't stress to you how good Oklahoma Joe's burnt ends are. I mean, burnt ends are good anywhere you go in Kansas City. I've never had bad ones in Kansas City, but Oklahoma Joe's is just like at a different level. And then to put that on a pizza, holy F, man.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite kind of pizza is a barbecue chicken pizza.
Right.
So I'm assuming that they go with a barbecue like for the sauce. Oh my god, some cheddar cheese, red onion, barbecue chicken. Oh my god, that's a phenomenal pizza.
I'm getting fatter just thinking about it, that's for sure.
You're fat.
Well, I hope you guys all enjoy the Super Bowl this weekend. Like you said, it's the beginning of football withdrawal, but the good thing about football is they kind of keep it going year round, and between the draft and mini camps and all that kind of stuff, we always seem to always have NFL in the news somehow. So hopefully the withdrawal won't be too bad, and hopefully you guys all get to enjoy your favorite snacks for the Super Bowl. And this episode is kind of Super Bowl centric, so we're going to talk, there's obviously Super Bowl bets on the line. We talked to Matt Harrison from shockfantasy.com, and he walked us through a lot of the prop bets that you guys might be dropping some coin on. So that's definitely worth listening to if you're looking to bet or if you just want to have some fun with the prop bets. And then we're going to do quotes, notes, and follow that up with our final locks of the year for the NFL. And it's going to be our Super Bowl picks. So stay tuned for that. And speaking of prop bets, of course, in our little Patreon segment here, I put down a wager with the, you know, with our January money that we had collected from our Patreon friends. And we have a, I think it's a 27, I made it so that it came out to an even 50 bucks, but it's like $27 minus the juice, right? And on Tails, of course. So if Tails hits, one of our lovely Patreon listeners is going to score 50 bucks out of that. So, and Dave, Tails never fails.
Yeah. I was kind of pissed off last year. I made the first annual $69 coin toss bet and put it to a fan vote, and it came up heads, and I just knew it was going to lose.
Well, I have a lot of confidence this year, and hopefully one of our lovely listeners is going to walk off with 50 bucks as a nice little Super Bowl gift. So,
right. This means I have to go Tails on my bet.
Of course.
Which, I mean, yeah. I was going to do anyways. I'm not letting the Rubes vote this year. I'm going to put my $69 on the line for myself.
Absolutely. And you never bet on heads. Never.
Never.
So. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get rolling as always with a bets update.
Partridge Podge.
All right. Well, we've got a bunch of Super Bowl money on the line this week. All sorts of bets. The big one, of course, is whether or not Breanne will cash on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl versus Sauce. $500 on the line. The loser's going to break even. The winner's going to get $500. So that's the biggest of the Super Bowl bets. We've also got Chris versus Corey and Sauce. Chris has the Bucks at +3. Corey and Sauce have the Chiefs. We've got Carly with the Bucks +3. She's got that against Corey, Sauce, Lieber, and Zach for $100 a pop. We've got the bet between Tommy and Chris and Corey that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl within 3 years. This is year one, and Tommy's on the verge of cashing that for $100 a piece against Corey and Chris. And we've got the Chiefs and Packers versus the field bet that Sauce took against Tommy for $100. Obviously, Sauce has the Chiefs, and Tommy has the Buccaneers in that. So five bets are going to get settled one way or the other. Well, potentially. The Tommy, Corey, Chris one might push to next year. But, yeah, lots of action on the line there between those five bets.
Yeah, you got a lot of power trip bet slips to start pre-making here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pre-make them because they'll probably all pretty much end at the same time. So, because they're all on the outcome of the game. So, yeah, we'll do those. Another power trip bet slip that I dropped last night was none other than our elite NBA mind, Chris Hockey, winning his fifth NBA bet in a row as the San Antonio Spurs-Wolves game hit a total of 219. Which was just 4.5 points short of the spread, and the under hits for Chris. He wins $50 from Sauce. I was watching a movie last night, but I was like, I have to, you know, because sometimes I'll just pull up, you know, the game in the fourth quarter and see where it is, and you know, get ready to settle the bet and stuff. You know, obviously I'm not going to watch the Wolves, but yeah, I had it up on my phone, and when it was about halfway through the fourth quarter, I'm like, man, this is like right on the number. I'm like, this is going to be greasy, and yeah, so I pretty much watched the scoreboard on my phone for like the last 6 minutes, and it was another Hawk win. The guy keeps doing it.
Oh man, yeah, he is hot in the NBA, where his expertise is most, in the center stage there. So,
and he still got
hopefully
that
keeps rolling.
Yeah, absolutely, and he still got that under on the Wolves 29.5, which is basically if the season doesn't get canceled, he's got that bet in the bank already too. So, could be yet another NBA victory for our favorite guy, Chris Hockey, and his NBA knowledge. Only other
are they playing? I forget. Are they playing a full 82 game season this year?
No, it's 72 this year. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like a prorated thing. I think I'm I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm pretty sure it's 72 because it was the number got like every. I had to kind of do adjustments to see like, oh, that really means it would have been this because I think the Wolves number was really like 32 and a half or 33 and a half, something like that. But it gets adjusted down. So, yeah. The only other bet I want to talk about was what happened today with Lee in the box. So they did in the box again. Lee Volzvik was the contestant. Everybody guessed 5 or 6. And lo and behold, they were sitting on 5 as it came to the last question. She got it right. Ben, Rosie, and Sauce all won that bet. And Corey and Zach had to pay up $50 each. I love that every single one of these in the boxes has come down to the last question. Like every single one of them has been a sweat to see whether or not somebody's going to walk away with some cash. And I don't know. I think it's a great little bit. And I love that they're putting money on. I wish they put money on all of their games.
Yeah, I mean, they really should. They really stepped up their gambling game. You know, the pace, like you said, is just out of control. They're going to double or triple the all-time, you know, handle here. So, yeah, anything that the guys can bet on, it seems like they're betting on, and we appreciate that.
Of course we do, because
put your talents to work.
Life is better with money on the line, whether it's my money or somebody else's money. So, yes, absolutely. All right, well, that will do it for the bets update. Let's get some quotes.
And now it's time for the quotes of the week.
I'd let Brett Favre be on me.
Sure. Ted Bundy's been to the Rose Bowl more recently than the Gophers have.
Because it's hard to bang and play it at the same time.
Bang and lung darts, whale.
All right, friends, it is time for another installment of the Quotes of the Week. And we will start at number 3 with Coralis Cove.
Yeah. Robert, you're 15 and you live in the Twin Cities. That,
wow.
Marco Yarish wasn't that is one like of a most... 90% chance he's your father.
Oh, that's funny. You know, obviously, going back to his Sludge and Lake days, you know, he kind of knew a little bit more about the insides of the Timberwolves than the rest of the, you know, people in Minnesota did. So I guess Corey knows that, you know, he slept with a fair amount of women in the Minneapolis area and probably other cities as well.
I think he gained most of his knowledge by hanging out with Henry Lake at the clubs more than yes. actually going to Timberwolves basketball games. But and I thought it was funny today, too. I mean, like, Cause I've been in the, like, I've been in the camp of the Wolves are an absolute disaster. And it kind of annoys me every year when, you know, the draft rolls around and everybody's hyped about their pick and, you know, hey, if they could just meet. And then there's always some speculation for some big name player they're going to trade for. And there's like all this optimism in the Wolves fan base. And then of course it blows up in their face. They hit the under, I cash bets, you know, it's the wash, rinse, repeat. And I've like completely given up on this franchise about, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. And it was funny. Like, I think this year finally, cause you hear it in Sauce and Corey, like, I think they've finally like, just, this is over. Like this franchise is just doomed forever. And I thought it was funny what Corey said, that he would actually probably like the Timberwolves more if they moved to Las Vegas.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, the Vegas Wolves kind of rolls off the tongue as well. Lord knows they're not doing anything here. Get them the hell out of there. I would go to more Timberwolves games if they were located in Las Vegas.
100, that's exactly what I was going to say. 100% I would go to more Wolves games in Vegas than I would in Minneapolis.
Yes. Okay. Well, here we go. We're one quote in, and we're already talking about gambling. So we're getting back into bets here. But let's roll into number 2, and it is our good friend, Paul Meatsauce Lambert.
Like she is always practicing. Always.
Good for her.
All on her own. Like, wow. Chad's like, we don't tell her to do anything.
Well, like, Chad's never there though. He's a deadbeat dad. If you look up deadbeat dad, it's just Chad Greenway missing a tackle in the 09 championship game.
Little bulletin board material for initials on Friday as Mr. Greenway is gonna step into the arena and be the number one 100 contestant in initials history, but yeah, that was a pretty aggressive burn there on Mr. Greenway.
I know, with Lieber in studio on top of it, because usually Lieber gets all the blame for the 09 championship game. So yeah, I love that Greenway took his share as well.
Yes, everybody is liable for that heartbreaking loss.
Absolutely. They need to get Favre in studio.
Oh, God. Yes, across his body. Yikes. Speaking of mistakes, at number one, it's Zach Helverson.
Ooh, now he's going to hate you. You see how it's just man, he hates when oh, don't do that, dude.
Zach. The Averys think you're ugly.
Oh, God, see what I'm saying?
The Averys think you're smart.
and that was definitely, like, that's like a top four seed in my book.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, kind of a heat check. You know, Sauce is, you know, loading up with a heater here, ready to give a quote of the week. And Zach just slaps back with just the all-time burn. That was so good by Zach.
I was dying. Like the whole Avery thing is hilarious, and then Zach gets his jab back and the knockout blow. So that was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I mean you never like Meat Sauce has been picked on that show for a decade. You know, it's nice for him to be able to dish out some of the stuff to. Sauce Jr. there in Helverson. So, kind of a taste of his own medicine right back at him. So that was really good by Zach.
Awesome.
All right. Well, there are your quotes of the week.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right. Well, hopefully you're dropping some money on some props, whether online or south of the border. And if you are and you plan to, or just plan to have some fun with some friends and do some prop bets between friends, you're going to want to stay tuned because we talked to Matt Harrison from shockfantasy.com, and he gave us all the inside on the props. All right. Well, we're excited to welcome back to the podcast Mr. Matt Harrison from shockfantasy.com. And you also know him from Fantasy Football Weekly with Paul Charchian. And Matt, before we get to all these fun, exciting prop bets, can you confirm or deny that there's a hot topic this week on the Power Trip? Does Paul Charchian own the Humbler?
Well, I've been to Charch's humble abode several times.
Oh, good for you.
It's a very nice home that he has. He has not invited me up to his bedroom, so I cannot confirm or deny that he may or may not have a Humbler.
All right, well, it looks like we'll have to have Brian on the podcast soon, because
Brian's,
I know,
definitely
he's been
there a lot more than I have.
So. absolutely. Well, it is Super Bowl week, and we are thrilled to have you because you are the king of the prop bets for Super Bowl week. You have a huge prop sheet that I highly recommend to all of our listeners to add a little bit of fun to the Super Bowl parties or virtual parties, as they might be this year, unfortunately. But why don't you tell us about the prop sheet and how our listeners can get that?
Yeah, so... this is now my 11th year of making this stupid prop bet game. And it just kind of came up as one of the Super Bowl games. We were just kind of looking at some of the player props, and I was like, what if I, jot down 10 of these and we'll make a little sheet and see who gets the most right. Well, this year it's 40 on the sheet, and they're not necessarily like all strictly football related. They're multiple choice, so they're easy to answer. Each answer for every question has a point value attached to it. And if you get it right, you get the points. And if you get it wrong, you get no points for that. But it's a really good mix of a little bit of everything. There's stuff on the national anthem. There's stuff on the coin toss. There's stuff on the actual football game. There's stuff on the first commercial after the first score of the game, something that you can't really research because it's after the first score. There's a handful of just little things, but we got the halftime show and all that stuff in there. And one of the best parts about this game is it's perfect for anybody to play. Anybody can put a little X on the sheet. They can win it. Now, does it help to have a little bit of knowledge about football? Yeah, it helps to do a little bit of research and knowledge. In 10 years of playing it prior, I won it in my Super Bowl party for the first time last year. Never won it before that. So
wow.
that was kind of fun. But anybody can win it. My kids have won it before. It's just kind of a fun thing to do. And it will definitely spice up the way that you look at a Super Bowl party. And it's available as a PDF at Shock Fantasy for only $10. You can print off as many PDFs as you want after you make your little $10 payment. And if you got, you know, if you're watching the Super Bowl with 10 people, it's like $1 a person. We usually kick about $5 to $10 in at my house, throw it in a cup, and off we go. And whoever gets the most walks away with the big cup. And it's pretty fun to play.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. If you're, you know, and even if you're putting like actual real money in one of the sports books or at some of the casinos on the game, still fun to have this because, like you said, it's something that can be, you know, used in like a family setting. Kids can play it, you know, and that sort of thing. And you are here to give us the inside grease on some of these props and which way they're going to go so that our listeners can profit from these little Super Bowl parties.
Now, I'm not going to promise profit here, but I will promise that this will be good content on a podcast, and maybe you'll laugh at a few of these things because some of these are absolutely ridiculous. And if you're betting on them, you obviously have a problem. You probably
guilty.
Need to-
guilty.
So we can start off. How about the national anthem? It starts the game. It's the way we kick off the whole Super Bowl thing. So right now, I've found a couple different over-unders on Eric Church and Jasmine Sullivan, who are singing the national anthem this year. The over-under of 1:59 at Bovada, or an over-under of 2:03 at mybookie.ag. The way I look at it with the over-unders, and most people, when they look at an over-under, they try to figure out how to bet the over, right? Mm-hmm. So you're looking at those two numbers and you're like, oh, I'm going to bet the over at Bovada because it's lower. I'm going to bet the under. And here's why. Of the last four Super Bowls that we've seen, three of the four have hit the under and pretty significantly under at that. The only one to go over in that time, Gladys Knight. You know, Gladys Knight's got to take her big moment. She went almost 2.5 minutes with that thing. That was crazy. The people who go over, here's the names of the people who've gone over. It's Gladys Knight. It's Lady Gaga. It's Idina Menzel. And it's Alicia Keys. Those are the last four national anthems that have gone over. And those are all ladies who just have this wonderful sounding voice and they're going to boom it out for everybody. But the people who go under, Demi Lovato, you know, hardworking, great singer, but she's not reliant completely on her voice. Pink, Luke Bryan, Renee Fleming, who I barely remember. Kelly Clarkson. We got the hardworking blue collar people hitting the under. And I think Eric Church is that hardworking blue collar guy. He's going to keep it at the under. I'm going to say it's probably going to hit about 1:55. And that's what I got on my prop bet sheet as my over under for the national anthem.
All right. Well, it's interesting too, because Gaga actually at the presidential inauguration went under as well. So it makes me wonder too,
shortening it up.
If weather might have a factor in it too, because it was cold at the inauguration, whereas in Tampa, it's going to be a little bit warmer. Now, you probably don't have any data on this because we typically have just solo singers, but do you think the fact that it's two singers is going to, you know, is there any chance that they kind of slow it down a little bit just to make sure that they're in sync?
Well, looking back on my data sheet here, the last time we had two singers sing the national anthem was 2006. It was Super Bowl 40. It was Aaron Neville and Aretha Franklin. They hit 2:08,
okay,
on the national anthem that year. So I happen to think that they might like to sing just a little bit more, like to show it off a little bit more. But I'm thinking Eric Church, Jasmine Sullivan. I think that they get this thing done and they get going with the game. They're also going to be singing God Bless America as well. So don't underestimate that from a fact that there will be two songs sang there, and they're kind of going to want to get this show on the road. So I'm gonna bet the under on this. But if you want a really stupid prop bet on the national anthem, at my bookie, you can bet on the primary color of Eric Church's shirt. Yes. I don't know if you Googled what Eric Church looks like, but if you Google him, he's 100% in a black shirt or a gray shirt every time. Black is -160, but gray is +150.
Ooh, that smells like
that value there and go gray.
Absolutely.
Wow. I like that one. I was going to say, a country singer, you think it's plaid. You know, it'd either be red or black. You know,
no, he just wears solid t-shirts all the time. That's how he rolls.
Is there a prop for sleeves or no sleeves?
I don't believe so. I did not see that one.
Hockey's
I mean,
minus
we could
10,
come
000.
Up with one right now. Would you like to?
No, it's okay.
All right. Well, something else that happens at the very beginning of the game that I think you have a little bit of grease on, and I know this is Dave's favorite bet of them all. It's his tradition. The coin toss.
It's the coin toss. You want to know about Tom Brady and his Super Bowl history?
Absolutely.
Calling heads and tails. Tom Brady is 2-7 Ooh, in coin tosses in Super Bowl history.
Wow.
Kind of the opposite of his record, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The two games where Tom Brady has won the coin toss, he's lost the Super Bowl.
Wow.
There's a stat.
That was Super Bowl 52 here in Minnesota against Philly, and Super Bowl 46 against the Giants, where New England won the toss. Every other coin toss, Tom Brady has lost. Want to know something else? Kansas City, the Chiefs, have never won a Super Bowl coin toss in their history. So something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
But you know what's going to give? Tampa Bay has won their one and only coin toss in Super Bowl history. Tampa's going to win the toss. Kansas City's going to win the game. That's just how it's going to go. So you can bet not only will the team that wins the toss win the game, I think you bet the opposite of that. You go, no, the team that wins the toss will not win the game in this scenario. All those ones are even money bets at most of these bookies, but I would definitely steer toward Tampa winning the toss. Kansas City definitely keep that losing streak going, but Kansas City winning the game afterwards.
So NFC is the home team, so they get to. So the Bucs will be calling it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow. By the way, 6 of the last 7 have gone tails.
Tails yes. Never fails.
Before that, 6 of the last 7 before that went heads. Are we due? Are we due for the switcheroo?
Yeah, I fan polled my $69 coin toss bet out last year on Twitter. I was going with tails, and the Rubes wanted heads by I think like a fraction of a percent, and of course lost it because.
On that, by the way, the Super Bowl coin toss winners have lost the last 6 Super Bowls in a row.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm going to live bet my actual pick for the game after the coin toss is what you're saying.
Yep. As soon as whichever team wins it, you just bet against them immediately. Heavily bet against them.
we're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars here, folks.
We're talking mortgages.
Absolutely. Now, I have heard there's a little bit of science behind the coin toss. If you know which way the coin is going to be, either heads or tails, when he flips it, there's a little bit of science behind which way it's going to land. But unfortunately, we don't know that prior to the toss. So I think we're going to have to stick with Matt's numbers here and the trends that we've seen as of late.
I want to know the science behind this. Like, are we going to be able to switch our answers on the coin toss, like as we see the ref put it in his hand?
Oh, live bet up,
it's going to be tails.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate live bet, right? Yeah, just about to land. Push that button. So,
if we're going to stay with the ridiculous prop bets, we can talk a little bit about the halftime show and all the stupid stuff that goes around the Super Bowl because that stuff's fun. First song right now. Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, definitely the heavy favorite for the first song lyric sung at the Super Bowl. In my eyes, I've never seen a favorite so hard for the first song at a Super Bowl. So I'm probably sticking with that. It's plus 175 right now, which as far as this kind of bet, that's almost even money as far as what I've seen in the past. And then here's a couple of stupid ones that I found on my bookie. Because The Weeknd, of course, is a singer from the great white north of Canada. Will The Weeknd wear a Canadian tuxedo? Must be wearing blue jeans and matching jean jacket for yes. The yes is plus 350. The no is minus 160. I'd like to hear what you guys would like to go for on the Canadian tuxedo bet.
I think I would go no and, you know, take the favorite on that, but be absolutely thrilled if it was yes.
Yeah, I'm going there could, yes. I'm a big
there could be a wardrobe change in a given time. We never know.
Absolutely.
The other silly Super Bowl prop bet, which I don't even know if it's silly, but it's strange that it even exists. Will The Weeknd test positive for COVID-19 before the Super Bowl? Yes, plus 1,200. Minus, or no, is minus 6,000.
Wow.
I feel like, you know, throwing $60 on it to win just a few is not a great plan, but just a very strange bet that I saw out there.
That is really odd. Yeah. And is that the only COVID related bet that you've seen out there for the props?
For the halftime show, there are a few other COVID related props out there. Like, will players test positive and whatnot? But you know, I didn't throw that in my Super Bowl prop bet game because, number one, it's most of the people who are playing the prop bet game are showing up, you know, an hour before the Super Bowl. And that's one of those things that you kind of know before the Super Bowl happens. We want it to be a fun thing. So that's not something that I'm concentrating on here. Finally, the Gatorade, one of everybody's favorites.
Yes.
Last year, it was noted that the Kansas City Chiefs dumped orange Gatorade on Andy Reid. And the heavy favorites for the Gatorade bath this year are both orange and red. And I did notice that Gatorade's doing a lot of promotion around the Super Bowl this year. Now, Gatorade has, you know, design your own Gatorade bottle in Super Bowl logos and colors and all that cool stuff. It's really cool. And it comes with these pods of Gatorade that you put inside the water bottle. I don't know how they work, but I did notice that three of the four colors of the pods were red.
Wow.
So I think red is kind of a sneaky bet here. Also the color of both of the jerseys. If they want to go rah, rah, that's our team. I think red is kind of an interesting play. A lot of times you see orange at a little bit more of a favorite. Last time I looked, they were both about plus 175, but I think that red is kind of an interesting play if you're going to look at betting the Gatorade. And if you want to go back in history, orange 26% of the time, clear 21% of the time. But here's an interesting one. No liquid dumped on the coach at all. 21% of the time, maybe in a COVID year. If Andy Reid wins another Super Bowl, maybe they don't want to get the walrus wet. But if Bruce Arians does win the Super Bowl, I imagine they're dumping some sort of liquid on top of him.
Now,
but those are kind of interesting numbers that I found. And you can take those ones to the bank because obviously red's going to win, especially if Arians and the Bucks win. I tried to look up what kind of Gatorade are the Bucks drinking. All I found was water. They're boring down there. TB12 all the way. All right. Do you guys want to get to some hardcore player props?
Yes. This is the part where you can really kind of put your football knowledge to the test, because I'll be perfectly honest with you on the Gatorade. I had steam from a bunch of people on Twitter last year that it was going to be red. And I lost quite a bit of money on the Gatorade last year. So yeah. I'd rather trust in my football knowledge and do some of these player props. So what do you got for us?
Okay, I'm gonna propose some player props to you guys. Let's see if you guys want the over. Let's see if you want the under. Let's see how this goes. And then I'll give you some of my reasoning and where I feel about them.
All right.
Let's start with Tom Brady passing touchdowns. Over under of 2.5.
Oof. Boy.
I think myself, I'm going to go the over.
All right. Dave, you get to pick first this round. So
yes.
Chuck gets the next round. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to go with over. I like high points in this game. I think Brady is going to be throwing the touchdowns that any touchdown that the Bucs score, I think, is going to be through the air with Brady. So I guess that's one that I will be on the over.
All right. Well, I got to hope for 2 touchdown passes from Brady and a quarterback sneak. So I think he'll go over 2.5 touchdowns, but I just want to get the 1 on the quarterback sneak.
All right. Well, the under is favored on that bet at -160 right now, with the over getting +120.
Yeah.
I will note that my good buddy Matt Midlikowski tweeted out about a day ago, Tom Brady has 36 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the red zone this season. Kansas City was last in red zone touchdowns allowed. 74% of the touchdowns they allowed through the air were in the red zone. So the Brady props on the red zone touchdowns, I think, are very interesting. And that brings me to a first touchdown scorer bet that I kind of like. And for me, that's Mike Evans. Right now, he's +450 as the first touchdown scorer at Bovada. Evans had 17 targets in the red zone this year, 11 catches and 9 touchdowns. And right now on my bookie, he's +120 just to score at any time. So I like Mike Evans a lot. Now let's talk about another guy here. How about Rob Gronkowski? Now Gronk, you might've noticed, has 2 catches in the last 3 playoff games. However, 11 red zone targets, 9 of which came from inside the 10-yard line, 6 receptions and 5 touchdowns. All of his touchdowns came from inside the 10-yard line. Now, would you guys like to take a look at Rob Gronkowski as an anytime touchdown scorer?
Wow. Okay.
Chuck, which way do you want to go on Rob Gronkowski being a touchdown scorer at any time?
I am going to take the no on Rob Gronkowski scoring a touchdown.
That means Dave has to take it.
Yes. Well,
I would take it for sure, because I know it's going to be plus, I don't know, 300, 400?
You're close. +225 right now. But I like Gronk in the end zone a lot. People think of Cameron Brate, and he has been a good red zone threat over the last few years, but Brate really hasn't been the red zone target for the most part for Brady this year. So I kind of think Gronk is a very interesting play. And you bring Rob Gronkowski to the Tampa Bay Bucks to play in the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
That's what he's here for right now. All right. Chris Godwin staying with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Let's go back to Dave here on this one. 79.5 receiving yards.
Whew. I'm going to go under on that one.
You're going to go with the under. Chuck, feeling confident about the over?
I kind of like the over. I kind of like a couple long ones for Godwin, and let's hit that over.
All right. I'm kind of with you. Here's why. Godwin has cleared the 79.5 benchmark in 3 of his last 5 games. And the one he didn't he had exactly 79 yards. So he was a half yard shy.
Ah.
So it's almost 4 of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Beasley from the slot. Godwin, by the way, a slot receiver. Cole Beasley in the conference championship against the Chiefs. 9 targets, 7 catches, 88 yards, and a score. Jarvis Landry from the slot. 10 targets, 7 receptions. Only 20 yards, but did score a touchdown. So the slot receiver has been targeted copiously in games against the Chiefs in the recent past. I like Godwin to hit the over on this one.
I love it.
Are you factoring in the most dangerous receiver on their roster, Mr. Scotty Miller?
No, but by the way, you can get a Scotty Miller first touchdown scored plus 1,100. First touchdown score for the Bucs.
I'm telling you, he is dangerous.
Well, he's not playing the Packers, though.
It's true.
Yeah, they don't have Kevin King to let him go rolling by.
Exactly. Jeez.
All right. I think the guy that you want to talk about in this game the most, though, and Patrick Mahomes is definitely up there, but the most en fuego player in all of football has been Travis Kelce. He has – well, let's start with the over-under. How about this? 7.5 receptions, and that's a big number. That's the over-under for Travis Kelce receptions in this game.
And I get to pick first on this one.
You get to pick first.
And that is a huge number. I am taking the over because he is the safety blanket for Mahomes. He is everything. And he is absolutely unstoppable. I watch, you know, being in Kansas City, I watch a ton of Chiefs games. There is nobody that can stop Kelce. If they want to get Kelce the ball, they get Kelce the ball. I think this is going to be a close game. I think they're going to need to go to Kelce a lot. I want the over, and I wouldn't be shocked if he hits double digits.
All right, so Dave, you get the under on that one, but I'm going to give you the first option on the second Travis Kelce prop bet here. Okay. Over under of 98.5 receiving yards.
I'm going to go under on the receiving yards for sure. I think
you didn't want to hedge.
I probably could have, but I think the receptions, I think you can rely on more than the yards from Kelce.
Nothing like hedging prop bets, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Travis Kelce, 8 receptions or more in 9 of his last 10 games. The one in that 10 game span where he didn't have 8 receptions, he had 7. During that 10 game span, he's had 7 100-yard games. He's had a 98-yard game and an 82-yard game. The one below that was 68. So the dude has just been absolutely on fire. By the way, Bucs defense, Jordan Whitehead, the safety, is doubtful. Antoine Winfield still questionable, and so is Lavonte David. So I like Travis Kelce a lot. And here's one of the interesting props I found on Travis Kelce, because anytime scorer, you're losing money on that bet. It's like minus 190. But if you want to bet on a touchdown for Travis Kelce, plus 155 for any first half touchdown.
Wow.
That makes it interesting. It doesn't have to be the first touchdown scored, but any first half touchdown for Travis Kelce, plus 155. I think if I'm going to look at a touchdown for Kelce, that's the way I'm going to do it.
Yep. I think that's good value.
Okay, I think I gave you guys you have 5 prop bets there that you're doing?
I think that's 5, yep.
And what's the wager that you're placing here?
I think we're going to go with our standard Kaniac, unless, you know, we probably should have done this before because I feel like it's advantage me right now. But if it's the Super Bowl, Dave, do you want to make it a double Kaniac?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, we might as well talk catering platter here, but but we could do it. We could do a double Kaniac.
All right, double Kaniac it is on the 5 prop bets that Matt gave us. That's perfect.
You're just sending Kane's gift cards back and forth to each other all the time.
It's usually Venmo for the amount of the Kaniac, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like $11.67 or something like that.
Something beautiful.
I will say, for the people trying to make prop bets out there, the earlier in the week that you, or if you're taking overs on prop bets, take them earlier in the week. As you get closer to the game time, those numbers typically start to move up. So I guess on the other side of that, if you're going to take under, make it on Sunday instead of whatever Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. And worth noting, if you're going to jump on some of these prop bets, Antonio Brown, still doubtful to play in this game with a knee injury. So you can look at some of those other receivers like Scotty Miller or even Minnesota fan favorite Tyler Johnson, who's a plus 2000 as first touchdown scorer for the Bucks. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be a fun one to hit, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think I saw him, I think he was like plus one or like 150 to one to be Super Bowl MVP. And Antoine was like 300 to one to be Super Bowl MVP. So if you want to throw just a couple bucks down on the Minnesota guys, hey, why not?
By the way, the Super Bowl MVP odds, I looked those up. Patrick Mahomes is actually a minus.
Oh,
I think he's like a minus 120 right now.
I've seen him at minus 160. I'm like, the Chiefs are minus 140 to win the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mahomes might be MVP in a losing effort is what they're telling us. if it's not Mahomes, it's Tom Brady, and he's plus 200. So if you're going to make any MVP bet that's not Mahomes, it's got to be Brady because they won't give a Super Bowl MVP to anybody else, especially in his 10th one.
No, and I gave out on our podcast a couple weeks ago, I gave out the tip that as we were in the conference championships, Mahomes was plus 300 at the time. And I said, that is a much better bet than betting the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl because the Chiefs were plus 200 at the time. So if people took my advice and they're sitting on Mahomes at plus 300 right now, might not be a bad hedge to bet Brady at plus 200. And you're walking away with something because one of those two is going to win it.
Yeah, the only other guys, I'm looking at Bovada right now. Mahomes minus 120, Brady plus 200. Then it's Kelsey and Hill at plus 1,000 each. Everybody else is just ridiculous. So it doesn't even make sense to place a bet on any of these other guys.
All right. Well, last but not least, it's the Super Bowl. You know, Dave and I are going to give our locks on the Super Bowl later in the show. But Matt, since you're on, gut feeling, what do you think? The number right now is 3.5 and the over under is 56. If you took a little stroll down to Diamond Joe and threw some of those hard earned shock fantasy dollars on the game, what's your inclination?
Well, all my shock fantasy dollars are tied up in Dogecoin for sure right now.
Of course.
No, I would be betting the Chiefs with that, minus the 3.5, definitely. Even if it grows a little bit, I wouldn't be scared of this. I think the Chiefs win this game by double digits.
Wow. Yeah. What do you think on the number over under?
Yeah. I think the Chiefs can probably score a ton of points, but 56 is a pretty high bet for an over under. I believe 76 is the all time record for a Super Bowl. That would be really fun to see. But I think it's probably going to be very close to 56 and I'm looking at the under there. So, but I do think that, the Chiefs and I might buy some points and tease that a little bit if I were down there and, see if I can get the Chiefs by like 9 or something like that and make a little bit more money that way.
All right. Well, and I said last but not least, but I absolute last prop bet, if the Chiefs do win the Super Bowl, over under 3.5 hours of sleep that I get with all the fireworks going off in Kansas City.
Can't beat them, join them, right? I mean, this is never going to happen in Minnesota. I'm wearing my Viking sweatshirt right now. just go enjoy it. Get out there.
So take the under on 3.5 hours of sleep that night. Beautiful.
I don't think you should try to sleep. You should just... What happened last time around? Where were you at?
I was at home and the fireworks were going bananas for a long, long time. People were going crazy. So it was really cool to see because the city has, I have always said the Chiefs are kind of like the AFC counterparts to the Vikings in terms of like playoff disasters and, you know, just everything going wrong at key moments in the playoffs, bad field goal efforts in the playoffs. We have a lot in common with the Chiefs, and it was really cool to see them get one, especially with Mahomes at the helm. So, I'm I will be out on the deck again watching all the fireworks go off, that's for sure.
Do you think the reaction would be quite the same, seeing as how they won it last year? Plus, in the COVID landscape, maybe it's a little bit different. Do you think that they will be as boisterous of a reaction as the once in 50 years Super Bowl last year?
Judging by the amount of fireworks that went off after they won the AFC Championship, 100%. I think people are every bit as jacked this year as they were last year. There's definitely not a oh my God, this is brand new. It's like they're still relishing the moment as they should be. You know, nobody's won back-to-back Super Bowls since the Patriots did it in the early 2000s. So I think they definitely want to make their mark, and I know they're going to be itching for three just as hard if they happen to get two. So, yeah.
So I think that the thing that you got to do then, since you are the Power Trip Bets, is you get out on the deck. And prior to this, you have to set a line of how many fireworks booms in the 1 minute of filming do. And you can go back to the tape. You could, you know, set an over under, you know, like 66 and a half.
Yeah. I'm on the over on that based on last year.
You have to
year.
Play the Paul Allen boom sound effect every time the firework goes off.
Oh my God. It was,
that would be great.
It was crazy last year, but it's really cool. And it's something that I really hope we get to enjoy in Minnesota one of these days.
Man, I hope so. Gosh, that would be fun. I have my kids. I told them the other day that if they don't win one before I die, I want my gravestone to just say F you Vikings.
That's perfect. So. All right. Well, thanks so much, Matt. Once again, that's shockfantasy.com, and it's only $10, right?
Yeah, $10 for the Super Bowl prop bet game. It's free for anybody who was a member of Shock Fantasy, just as an article on the site.
Like Dave,
so if you want to be a member, yeah, you get a full year of play, and all the cool fantasy tools and all that stuff will come along with it for your 2021 season. So good time to get on that. And if you want to get a discount on the full membership, the promo code PROP55, as in prop bets and the Super Bowl 55, that'll get you $15 off at Shock Fantasy. Make your membership only $25 for a full year.
Beautiful. Well, good luck to your kids on the prop bet. I hope they take all your money.
I'm just going to invest it all in Dogecoin for them when they win.
Perfect. All right. Thanks so much, Matt.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
All right, Dave. Well, it is time for quotes, notes, and I think we've heard this one before.
Meth sharks will make ya quotes, notes. Coon dogs will make ya quotes, notes. Mark Hamill make ya quotes, notes. Sauce's beard will make ya quotes, notes.
All right, what do you got for us this week?
All right, a couple of quick hitters here at the start that don't need a ton of discussion, but I felt like they need to be represented here. Number one, Mission Impossible 2 kicks ass. I definitely favor the Mission Impossible franchise to Bond. I think Bond is way overrated. Even though I don't like Tom Cruise at all, really, I think those movies are better. Next up, Breakfast Club is dynamite. One of my favorite 80s movies, and there's a lot of them, but that one is way up there. Rest in peace, Screech. I kind of grew up watching Saved by the Bell kind of on the later part of my years. I was pretty young when it first came out, but I know it was always on right on Saturdays, right before the NBA basketball game, the noon tip-off game. So I'd always watch Saved by the Bell before I watched a little NBA back in my day. Chuck, were you into Saved by the Bell at all?
Absolutely. It was like during my college years, it was on, and oh my gosh, I had this one buddy who was addicted to Saved by the Bell. And there were times where legitimately, like, we couldn't, like, we were going somewhere or going out to eat or whatever, and like, we had to stay and finish the episode. Like, he was absolutely addicted to it. So yeah, I enjoyed it. And, it was always lots of fun. I actually got to meet Mr. Belding a few years ago, here in Kansas City. That was enjoyable. A fun little walk down memory lane to actually, get to see Mr. Belding. So
That's cool. Well, rest in peace, Screech.
R.I.P.
Next up, I saw EA Sports is releasing their first college football video game since 2014. Couldn't be more excited. I literally still play the old college football games, NCAA football. I think I have like 2012 and 2013 or something like that. I still like have franchise modes and play them every once in a while. I played some in quarantine. So that's a great franchise. So I'm glad that that's coming back.
Yeah, definitely. I think I took Tulsa to the national championship on more than one occasion. So yeah, it was, I played a lot of it too.
It's just so much fun, like the recruiting and like, mm-hmm. you know, you can go up jobs and yeah, I just love it. Next up, the After Party has really been killing it lately. And I think, you know, after their last three guests here, Lisa Ann, Amelia Santinello, and now Julia Rose, they might need to rename the podcast to The Smoke Show.
Yeah, they've definitely, I think it's so funny because Chris said he went through his list of people who are verified that follow him and he started reaching out to them for interviews. And I think he needed to qualify that a little bit and say the female ones that follow him are the ones that he's reached out to, because I see a definite trend and that does not preclude Chris Schaefer.
No, it does not. Next up, I shared my grandma's beef stroganoff recipe with Drunk John Creasel the other day, and he bought all the ingredients, went out and made it and gave it a glowing review. Had some others reach out and kind of saw that he posted that on Twitter and reach out. If you are looking for it, just shoot me a message. It's literally my favorite meal on the planet. It's the best thing that I make, and I always think it's cool to pass down recipes, you know, from generation to generation. And yeah, it's a great, great meal.
The only thing I don't like about beef stroganoff is the name, because I cannot get stroking off out of my head every time I hear it. So
why'd you say that?
I'm just saying.
I've never thought of that. Now that's all I'm going to think about.
It's such a weird name. Why can't you just call it like beef hot dish, right? And everybody knows what it is. It's noodles, yeah. It's beef, it's gravy or whatever. But no, everybody's got to call it beef stroganoff. And yeah.
God. Not, you just ruined my favorite meal for me.
Not that I'm not stroganoff about the beef dish, but you know, let's give it a better name.
Now I'm just seeing like a cow like yerking off exactly. into my pasta.
Yes.
God damn it. Okay. Anyways, nobody's going to be wanting that recipe anymore. next up, I got to watch Den of Thieves. Tommy keeps bringing it up, and he made the deal with Corey now that he's going to trade watching one of the greatest films of all time in Fight Club for, as what Tommy now calls, DOT, because Den of Thieves, you know, takes too much effort for these millennials to sputter out. So I'm going to watch myself some DOT. I hope it's on Netflix. I hope I don't have to pay more than $4.99 at Blockbuster for this, but I feel like I really need to watch it.
I love Tommy Olsen. I wish he was on the entire show Thursday. I wish he was on more than once a week. He's one of my favorite people on the Power Trip. I love his enthusiasm, but there is no way that's a good movie. Like there's no way. It cannot be a good movie. And I'm not going to watch it, but I will let you give the honest review of it. And okay. I will, if you say it's good, I will trust your judgment on it, but I'm just going into this saying there's no way that's a good movie.
Well, I will watch it. I will review it. It'll be in quotes notes.
All right.
Next up, our jocks had another just amazing tweet. Probably my, you know, I think we all know who runs the account.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely clever. This was from the other night when they were wearing those retro jerseys. Wearing jerseys of old teams that are better than you at hockey doesn't make, or I should say it like jock.
Of course.
Wearing jerseys of old teams that are better than you at hockey doesn't make you better at hockey. If that was the case, the Wild should have worn the Avalanche jerseys from yesterday.
I know. That's brilliant.
I'm like 5-1. That was so genius. I loved it. I love our jocks. Probably one of my favorite follows on Twitter.
That was just a classic tweet, and I love when he live tweets the games too. That's fun. It's almost as much fun as hockey on hockey when hockey live tweets the games too. But yeah, and we actually got a Jacques call this week, which is just a massive treat for me. And I love it because, you know, I listen to most of the show live, and, you know, I'll just be around the house, like doing stuff, getting ready for work, that sort of thing. And like this last one just came from out of nowhere. You know, there was no idea what was going to happen. All of a sudden it was like, "Hey guys." And I'm like, "Yes, thank you." And, it is without a doubt my favorite bit that they've ever done, and definitely the best Corey impression of all time.
Oh yeah. It's, well, I mean, Corey is, you know, we all think of Hawk when we think of impressions, but Corey is really the best impressionist on the show.
Corey goes,
no offense to Hawk.
No.
Has some amazing ones.
Corey is quality. Hawk is quantity when it comes to impressions. And we enjoy them both for that.
And that's why we rate that impression every once in a while. We should do that. I have some saved up here, so we should get back to that.
Beautiful, yeah, absolutely.
Saw that Lunds and Byerly's has a buy one, get one on the 7th Avenue pizzas. That's a hell of a deal. I have 10 in my freezer right now that I paid full price for. but when I run out, I will be going to Lunds and Byerly's as soon as possible. So that pizza's really good. We talked about that last week. Watched the Truex fight on Saturday, and man, that guy is a tough son of a bitch. Now, he was totally outclassed with a young champ that was, he's like 29 years old. His name is also Caleb. I forget his last name at this point because
Caleb
boxing.
Plant.
Caleb Plant. Yeah. And did you watch it, Chuck?
100%. I watched the whole thing beginning to end.
All I could think about was that he was wearing like, he had like frays.
Yeah.
Like pink Afghan like frays on the outside of his trunks. I'm not sure about that look. Maybe I'm not as hip now with it and wow, as Common says, you know, as I used to be, but I'm not sure about that look, especially on a champ.
No, it was, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that fight. It was like Hawks. I mean, I remember back in the days, you know, like, and Tyson was a little bit different of a beast because everybody was there to see how quickly Tyson could knock his opponent out. And I remember watching those where it's like, yeah, this is going to be over in the first round or, you know, the first 30 seconds even. But, around that time, it was like, I watched a lot more boxing and, you know, it kind of brought me back to those days where, you know, actually enjoying it and seeing, you know, some of the strategy and some of the different techniques and stuff that go in, and just realizing like I would literally last, like, I think I would maybe last 12 seconds, like 2 seconds for the guy to punch me in the head and 10 seconds for me to be counted out, right? I'm like, it's just, you know, the to see them get punched in the face like that over and over, and it's like all they do is just come back and start throwing punches themselves. Just the like you said, the toughness, it was unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, hey, Caleb Truax, he is, you know, he's getting older, but man, what a career that guy's had. And yeah, one tough SOB for sure.
Yes. Yeah, it was still a good showing. And I go UFC 10 times over boxing. Boxing is pretty boring in general to me. It has to be Caleb fighting for me to really give a shit about it. But I've been getting into combat sports. They're coming. So, yeah. Last one here. Happy birthday, Mark Parrish, my favorite St. Cloud State hockey player of all time. My God, so many positive things going on in his life right now. Couldn't be more happier for the guy. He had his, you know, his 6-month sober date, that just passed, I think last week. You know, amazing guy. Happy birthday. I think he's 44 now. 44 years young, Mr. Mark Parrish.
I know, and I've got that NHL Center Ice package, so I get to see all of the, you know, the full Wild broadcast and everything. And every time I see that hair, I'm just like, you sexy son of a bitch.
Yeah, and really, he has the second best hair in his family. Gino has the real flow for all the people who really know the Parrishes. But yes, Mark has some great lettuce as well.
Yep. Happy birthday, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I'm glad everything is coming up Parrish, and who knows, these golf majors are going to start coming up here again. Maybe he can cash in another 4,000 this year.
Yeah, he might have to report that on his 2020 taxes, all those power trip winnings.
If the IRS ever interviews me, I am going to say, as far as I know, no money ever changes hands, and I'm sticking to that.
It's a bit.
It's a bit. No, they don't have Venmo. What are you talking about? What's a Venmo?
It's pretend money.
Exactly.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, well, the last thing we got to do before we get out of here is it's our final locks of the week, and it's really intriguing because, like I mentioned last week, you're just percentage points ahead of me, but I have an open ticket, which is Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP of the Super Bowl at +300. But then we've got our picks this week. So I'm going to go first, and I could have made this really difficult on you, and I could have, because basically what has to happen is I've got that open ticket and I get one more pick this week, and then you've got your pick. Two of the three have to go my way for me to pass you. Well, I'm guaranteeing that one of them is going to go against me. So it's really going to come down to your pick that decides this, because I am putting my lock of the week and my actual money down. I made my decision this week. I'm betting the Patriots, the Bucks.
Wow, that
God,
is
Brady.
Bold.
Yeah, bold. That would be a bold bet. I'm betting the Patriots to win Super Bowl 55. Tom Brady, I can't get Patriots out of my head with that guy. Tom Brady is going to win the Super Bowl on Sunday, much to the chagrin of almost all of my friends and family here in Kansas City. I've looked at this game in a lot of different ways. I think Tampa Bay is going to be healthy enough. I really think the missing tackles for the Chiefs are going to make a gigantic difference against that Buccaneers front. I think they're going to hold Kansas City enough in check that Tom is going to have the opportunity to put up enough points to get past them. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, I think it's going to be, both teams are going to be right around 30. But I'm taking the Bucks. I'm taking the 3 points, and that means I'm gonna lose my Patrick Mahomes MVP bet after all. But one way or the other, I'm gonna lose one of those two, because Mahomes isn't gonna win the MVP if the Chiefs don't cover. So that's my bet. Bucks +3.
Okay, Chuck. I've gone into the future. I've done a lot of analyzation here this week. I know exactly what's going to happen. And the Bucs are going to win the first half. They're going to get out to a hot start. The Chiefs have been starting slow in these games. Brady, I'm thinking that Brady kind of puts it together at the start. So I guess I don't know how many locks I'm awarded here. Can I only do one?
One mock.
Okay, I'll do that at the end. Personally, I'm taking Bucs +2.5 first half. I am taking the over 56 in the game, but my lock of the year is the Kansas City Chiefs -3. I don't see how they don't get this done. They've kind of gotten lazy a little bit, even in the end of the season and the early part of the playoffs here. They kind of found their stroke here against Buffalo. And I just think that Patrick Mahomes is too damn good, and I think they're gonna hang 35 plus on the the Patriots, on the Chiefs, or on. Oh my God, I'm losing my fucking mind.
I am too.
On the Buccaneers, and they're going to win big. I would even do a pleaser here, of the pleaser, or you could do a teaser and go Chiefs and over. But I think it's going to be Chiefs and Chiefs big.
All right. Well, we will see. I think a lot of it's going to come down to whether or not Mahomes can find the time and find the elusiveness to get downfield, because I really do think he's going to be under a tremendous amount of pressure.
He will.
And Brady's going to put up his score. I mean, the Chiefs defense is not going to stop Brady. So they're, you know, it's going to be a 27-30 point game, and it's just a question of, did the Chiefs end up at, you know, 24, 28, 35, 42, you know, where do they fall in there? So, and I think the over is a really safe play, because
it really is.
I mean, if it hits the under, it's going to be like 55 or 54. I mean, it's going to be really, really close. So Don't let the rain scare you at all.
No. And I was even thinking about I'm going over at least two units for 56, but I do think the slow start with KC and it maybe if there's a couple field goals, I almost like if the first half total gets to 28, I think I'd take like one unit on the first half under and then go two units on the over. Cause I think the second half is just going to be points and Chiefs coming back from a deficit and getting it figured out. And then if Tampa Bay scores in there too, it's going to go way over.
I would not doubt that scenario at all. All right. Well, that will do it for this week's show. We hope you have a great Super Bowl and we'll be back next week with a brand new show. I've got a little bit for next week that I think will be a lot of fun. Something I dug up from the old archives. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Dave, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Power Trip Quotes.
And I'm, of course, at Power Trip Bets on Twitter. And I've actually got like 10 followers on Instagram now. At PT Bets. That's PTBETZ. You can find me there as well. I'm just posting the bet result alerts over there. I'm not even posting the full explanation. I'm just posting the ticket and a little description with it. So nothing too interesting, but mostly joined so I could follow other people on Insta. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening. You guys have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie. Shut up.